1 in 12. What I need from you is to tell me, can you still take the team forward?
I can take the team forward. I will not walk out.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. If you do, we'll give you some money, and if you don't, we'll sack you.
I resign.
Welcome, this is Wise Men Say, episode 13. Thanks for the memories, Danny.
Thanks.
I mean, let's face it, that's one of the best seasons we've had in a long time.
Last season, right?
Oh, yeah, no, not so much this one.
Strangely, it's probably last season was costing his job.
Yeah, yeah, you mentioned
this. Because the expectation is just so high now.
Yeah. Just to let you know, I'm Ben.
I'm Ian.
Yeah, I'm Robin.
Formalities.
Yeah, sorry, we kind of went straight.
I always feel like we should handshake each other when we hand to hand, obviously.
Well, why did you hand to genital?
I don't know.
Like, why you shake down there?
Sometimes depends what the money offers.
Okay,
quite good. In this episode, we review our loss away at St Mary's. We review our 0-0 at home today against Walsall. We seem to do a lot of nil-nilling at home. We also have a feature, because it's episode 13, and we thought, 13, bad luck. Let's do a feature on bad luck, because that's how inventive we are. And, yeah, we've got a
genius.
Genius, absolute genius. That's coming up today as well, along with the usual predictions. As always, if you agree, disagree, like, dislike, love, loathe, anything we say, please email in to wisemensay@live.co.uk.
So, yes, Danny's gone. This is the end.
Not good riddance, eh?
No, it's not. I mean, he was dignified, wasn't he, the whole way through, you know. And I think it was time for him to go. I think we would have gone down if he stayed. I think we might anyway.
But his record suggests that, yeah, doesn't it? His record suggests very good for one season, very bad for another.
Yeah. Well, let's just get him back next year, then.
Yeah, could be an idea.
Why don't we just do that?
Yeah. Thanks for keeping us up, Paul. We're going to go back to the other manager now. But
Danny, can you take a sabbatical for 12 months? Go and find yourself. I know you've always wanted to join a band. Go and do that.
Grow that moustache again, if you like. Yeah. That's up to you.
Come back in 12 months. Take us up.
Yes. No, you're right. There were some very good high points last season, and there's been some very embarrassing low points this season.
Yeah.
Possibly, I think actually now, with hindsight, Danny would probably have been better off leaving after Wembley, because he could have quite easily found another job then, I think.
Yeah, but
Swindon had overachieved. He'd done better than expected with what, when he took over, as a fairly average team.
Yeah,
but I still don't think he'll be out of work for long. I think he'll find another job quite quickly.
Credit to the man as well that, like you said, he could have left after Wembley in theory,
and but
he felt that he had unfinished business.
Yeah.
I know you've received a few emails on this one, Ben. Just looking at some of them now.
You're talking like he's died. I mean, he's a really nice guy. I mean, he'll be missed.
Yes.
I remember once when I saw Danny and he was really nice to me.
Thank you, Kevin.
Danny, it's too painful to talk. Take this picture.
Apparently, that was the reason why he left. The man could have given him a normal picture of a bee, but ripped Buzz off at the bottom.
That's no good.
He just left immediately.
I mean, there's all sorts we could say, isn't there? But I think Rob made a very good point.
Rob Dady,
emailed in and said things have changed in the last 15 years, and Swindon supporters need to remember this is at heart. Norwood will be a third division club. I mean, I think we could probably make a case for perhaps a championship club, well, aspirations, but he makes a good point. He says, look at the support Millwall brought to Wembley. There's a hotbed, there's a passion there, and the scope for big crowds. Big clubs are bigger now. You need gates of 15,000 to compete in the championship. There's just not that level of interest in Swindon. Why not be content with a club that shines occasionally? And
I agree with that completely.
Yeah, it's true. And this is now a day and age where, you know, your most important thing ahead of aspirations for bigger divisions must be staying in business. Mm. You know, there's a lot of clubs now who are struggling just to keep running on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather have a team to support every single week than a team that has one big go at promotion and ends up ruining themselves as a result of it.
The other thing that's quite good is Paul Hart being referred to quite regularly as a relegation specialist, which doesn't sound great, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It's like, you know, he can count. It doesn't matter if you're top, second. He can get you down.
It's like a doctor. It's like
a doctor. He can turn it all around for you.
It's like a doctor who's got a name of death specialist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really what we're looking for.
What's the track record? How many patients have died?
Yeah.
80%. Mm. That's all right.
It's not bad, Harold.
But no,
just got it. He's just got it.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers.
He was a good boxer as well, wasn't he? Had a lethal jab.
Clever.
So, but yeah, I mean, I guess we have to look forward now, and we have to hope that by the grace of God we stay up.
Mm. Poor Hart's on a hiding to nothing now, isn't he? Really,
I just think
this is an absolutely brilliant job to take if you're a manager. If you go down, you can blame it on the manager previously. Squad I inherited wasn't good enough. We'd already lost too many games. Didn't have enough points. If you go down, no one thinks bad of you. If you keep us up, then he's guaranteed a contract, isn't he? And he looks like the saviour. So for Paul Hart, it's a win-win for me.
I was a bit confused listening to it on the press conference on the radio beforehand, and some of the guys who just say stuff like Welsh sound and whatnot. But he goes, oh, Paul Hart as well. Obviously, he's come to Swindon. Paul Hart got a great record with youth development, which obviously is very important to Swindon. Swindon relies heavily on the youth system. Do they?
No, well, we don't, do we?
No. I was saying, what? Youth players come through? And then a mate of mine goes, what do you think about it? Like Bowden and stuff like that. They don't really play, though, do they?
No.
Not relying heavily. We tend to buy young players in and develop them, but...
You know,
the homegrown thing?
Not so much. I've just been thinking. I've always liked to see Doncaster Rovers do well, and I've never really thought why. It's just been like kind of an inherent thing. But I'm thinking now that maybe it's because they're kind of like us, only they've managed to get the way up into the Championship, and they've established they're what we could have been or what we still can be. You know, they're that small club that roundabout. Well, they were non-league, weren't they? But I mean, the point is. You know, they were in our league for a bit. They were kind of, and then they snuck up through the they snuck up through the playoffs, and they're now established Championship side.
Another thing that is with Doncaster as well.
I mean, they're not going to go anywhere, but
they haven't been stupid enough to throw a load of money and try and go up quickly.
Yeah.
And then when it all falls apart, you nearly financially ruin yourself. I think slow and gradual progress is the best way to do it, and definitely the best way if you're a manager as well.
I don't feel that way about Scunthorpe, though. No. I don't know why.
Well, because they've got. That's a rude word in them.
Yeah, that's true. Thorpe.
Yeah. For me, going back to Rob's email, I think aspirations are dependent on generations as well. If I say generations, on age, because...
You're a rapper.
Well, yeah, a bit. I'm not even going to answer that. But for us, experience of Swindon in the Championship when we were younger, so it's kind of what you expect, what you used to. For Rob, who's about 10 years old or so, he would have been there through all the horrible, really dark days.
Yeah.
So for him growing up, it's kind of like, well, yeah, Swindon are Division 3 too.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But now, our belief is, well, yeah, we should be Championship.
That's part of what he's saying.
I think there's nothing wrong with having aspirations to, you know...
Yeah, but there's no...
But as long as they're realistic. Yeah. As long as they're realistic. That's the thing.
Do you not think, though, that on another... we're back on parallel dimensions again, but do you not think we've got the capacity to become an established Championship side?
I don't.
Not in the immediate future.
No. I don't think... because
certainly the five-year plan is a bit of a myth, isn't it, now?
The fact is, mate... You're not going to get the crowds in.
Well, Burnley have just paid £1.3 million for Charlie. That's Championship level.
Yeah.
Can you see us being able to spend that sort of money on a player?
No.
I can't see us ever being in a position where we can turn down that sort of money for a player, let alone spend that amount.
That's
on a good
way of putting it.
The point that is made in that email, which is apt, is we're on the verge of Division 4.
Yeah.
Aren't we? I see us as right in between a bottom Championship team, a top League One team. So old division two, sort of bottom, top division three.
Pushing out of Division Three.
Yeah. I see us between those two.
Yo yo club maybe?
Yeah,
that's what we have been.
Yeah.
But then you still meet people who think they're a top level Championship club, and that annoys me. That would be massive.
There's no evidence to suggest that.
Exactly.
Anyway, we are gonna try and keep it upbeat as usual, and hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Happy listening.
Good running this by Lee Bonnard! And he somehow finds the net from the narrowest of angles. And in the final minute, Southampton have put the seal on what's been a very professional performance. Barnard scoring from the narrowest of angles to put the seal on a fine performance. Swindon are slipping to a fourth straight defeat. Victory for Nigel Adkins' side.
We're going to review our defeat away at St Mary's on Saturday, the 26th of February. I don't think anyone thought we were going to get anything out of that. Did they?
No. I did.
Yeah, I did as well. Yes. I predicted 2-0 win.
You've been on a good run against Southampton.
Yeah, they are. We are their bogey team, definitely. Yeah. But they kind of ended that.
Do you want to say that it's because we're missing Pericard that we didn't get a result? I mean, after his awesome domination at the St Mary's,
early on in the
season. Could be that, or it could be the fact that just generally they've got 11 players, which are better than ours.
I think they probably enjoyed that, going putting to bed the myth of the bogey team.
Yeah. Convincingly.
Oh, very convincingly. Could have been more.
Yeah.
By lots all accounts.
Hit the post a few times. That, what's his name? Oxlade-Chamberlain guy. The one that you said that Arsenal are after. He's the one that I read this morning.
Oh, right? I thought it was Lallana.
No, it was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, like a 17-year-old winger. That's the one that AC Milan apparently sniffing around as well. I love the term sniffing around.
Do you reckon AC Milan are sniffing around after any of our players? Probably not.
No.
Maybe some of their wives.
Yeah.
Some of our players, I would imagine a lot of people sniffing because a couple of them are shit.
Very good. Very good. Well, that would suggest that people enjoy sniffing feces. Another thing I noticed in this game is that Rose was booked. So does that mean he actually made a tackle?
Could be. Well, it's an improvement from him being sent off.
Well, yeah. I suppose. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was a stamp, wasn't it? Yeah. He doesn't really make tackles. He's a defender that doesn't make tackles. He's a fullback that doesn't pass.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
That doesn't distribute. But
he's got a great set piece delivery, though.
And he's got a long throw.
I mean, O'Brien's quick. You know, and Rose has got a great set piece delivery. Is that it?
Well, yeah, that's what you get in League One, though, isn't it? You get players who've got certain elements of their game is good, but collectively their elements aren't all that good.
Yeah.
Even otherwise, they'd be playing at a higher level, like, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's true. But
you know, that even happens on computer games.
It does. Yeah, like in Sensible Soccer, you have someone who'd be very fast, but no control, which we've talked about before.
And on FIFA these days, the emphasis is on chemistry, isn't it, between the players?
What, like being attracted to each other?
Well, not so much that, no. More understanding each other's games and knowing instinctively the space that they're going to move into.
The thought of...
We don't have that. We don't have chemistry.
Of Simon Ferry looking across at Prout and going, I like you, big man.
It's interesting, actually. I've always thought if Wilson was going to go, it would be after this game, because I think the likelihood is we will take points at the next three games. Mm. And I always think it's weird when team parts company with a manager after a win. You can't really do that, can you? No. You have to almost wait for a defeat.
You could tell Wilson was going to go anyway, because if you look, he makes dramatic changes. Richie and Obika come off on 68 minutes, and Bowden and O'Brien come on. That's a double substitution. We've never seen that. And he just put Pratton on for McGovern just before that as well. We haven't seen that at all.
So
that was like his swan song, his final gamble in his last half hour at Swindon Town. It was obvious. So,
Smith, you're going on up front. All right. Kev, put your hand down.
To be honest, I didn't dare hope for any points there. Yeah. Did you?
I predicted 2-0 for some inexplicable reason.
I know. Well, it's always a hope. But anyone else who saw the scores when they're coming through, I was watching it, looking at the scores of my girlfriend, and it was 1-0. And I was like, 1-0.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
But then I didn't look at the score again until final whistle. And then it was,
4-1.
When we equalised, did it mean anything to you at all? Did you think game on? I didn't.
No, not really.
I thought it was difficult to...
I never expected to get any points.
If anything,
it's like the only way that was going to be 1-1 is if it was 1-0 for the majority of the game, then we equalised right at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Us scoring was a bit like, oh, we've angered them now.
Yeah.
what did you anger stirred up a hornet's nest.
Yeah, everyone's like, go to Richmond.
Kev, get your posters. We need to...
deflect them. Follow the bee!
Oh, not good.
No.
Not good. Especially considering, the thing is, the loss was kind of expected, but we could be in a situation where goal difference counts at the end of the season.
Hmm.
I think after that game, we were... probably like 2 goals better than Walsall were goal difference.
Was that our 13th game without a win? Episode 13?
I think that was our 11th.
Yes, and this was our 11th.
Oh, and today's
game would be 12th.
Not our 13th? Oh, that's a shame, because I thought it would be fitting with the episode
13. Yeah, it is a massive shame. Yeah, we haven't won in the last 12 games. It's more than just a shame.
Yeah, and I think how many goals have we scored in the last 12 games? Four?
We said four.
Yeah, three or four. I might actually look that up and disclose it later on in the podcast, but I mean, I just keep looking at the scoreline. It's horrible, but not surprising.
Right. Well, one team's at one end of the division, one team's at the other end.
Yeah, they're going very
and
well.
They're there for a reason, and we're where we are for a reason.
It backs up my theory that we're more likely to score away than we are at home, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying we're going to win away, but we're more likely to score.
Yeah, it does seem to be like that.
It's quite funny for me that I remember at the start of the season, certain friends of ours saying, yeah, Southampton aren't going to do anything this year.
I know. That's
well, the start of the season kind of backed that up, didn't it?
And I thought Southampton would win the league this
season. Yeah, I did.
Because obviously last season they had the points deduction, didn't they? I don't know if they would have been in the playoffs without
that. No, I don't think they would have.
I don't know, they got rid of Pardew, that was a bit strange.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
played into our hands, didn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Southampton.
That was Southampton.
Don't think anyone's surprised.
No.
No.
4-1 formality.
Sorry, club.
Keen as Swindon's players were to impress their new boss, this certainly wasn't a classic. The Saddlers had more than one close shave in the second half. Jonathan Douglas denied by the bar. And that corner of the woodwork was good to Walsall's Jimmy Walker. In stoppage time, it helped him out again after Michael Rose had run the length of the pitch. The keeper getting a touch as well this time to preserve the club's fourth clean sheet in five outings. Hard luck for Hart.
Time to review yet another 0-0 at home. Saturday the 5th of March, today, against Walsall. Not enough, really.
No.
New Dawn.
Yeah, New Dawn. Baby, I'm Paul Hart. Living in just...
I really hope that doesn't catch on.
Yes.
Go on. Ian, your song?
Your song? Elton John. Yeah. How many points do I get?
I thought
it was a quiz question.
I thought we were doing a Paul Hart song.
No, I haven't really got anything.
Heartbeat. That's mine.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
If we got if we got David Pleat in as assistant manager, Heartbeat.
That would be brilliant.
Oh, cruts and mist.
Anyway, That's just no good, is it?
An example of two teams that couldn't afford to lose today. That's what. Yeah. That's what I think it was.
Also gave us a bit of respect, really, didn't they?
I think it looked like they came for a draw.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
They're going to be happier though.
Yeah. That's a much better result for them. The table is looking more and more like there's all sorts of reasons why it could be out of our hands.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Like, even if we do somehow find a way to score a goal, which, to be fair, we nearly did twice today, hit the frame, didn't we? Douglas nearly opened his account again. It was a good header as well, near post. Well, not, you know, really, no, glancing, directed it well.
Will he ever score? You know who he's like, his scoring record?
David Batty?
No, John Jensen.
Yeah.
He'll score a screamer.
But and Jensen scored one of the most important goals ever, didn't he? He scored in the European Championship finals.
Yeah, so which I believe we may mention later.
So maybe Douglas will come up with... We'll come up with a goal at a vital time.
In the European Championship final.
Tranmere, last game of the season. Probably be an own goal, but it will be an important goal.
Do you know what? For me, that would be very, very fitting. Very fitting.
If he did score a
goal to kind of keep us up or something. Because he has been kind of, not the shining light, but
I think he's our best player all season.
Yeah, I mean...
Even when Charlie was there.
It's difficult for him. You look at us playing today and you can see a lot of our players who we would usually not... want to berate on, and I don't want to single out individuals anyway, but like, even the players that usually do okay are playing with no confidence now.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
I think Caddis is playing quite well though.
Yeah,
I thought Caddis played well today.
He does often play quite well.
At the moment, the players I like are the players who actually look like they care. And Caddis does get up and
down. You're not a massive fan of Obika then? I wouldn't have thought.
Obika today, you just see Richie screaming at him saying, at least make the effort to get back onside.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no point all the rest of our players running back trying to get back onside if Obika's going to be on.
I'm sure, you know, you don't get picked up by Spurs without having a lot of key physical and athletic attributes and all the rest of it. But I think, bottom line is, it's not his fight and I don't think he sees it as his fight.
No.
So,
I think
unless someone can get in his head and say, look, come on, show us what you can do, keep us up, you know, please.
I think the beak is quite vindictive for me for the standard of English youth football, that a lot of the time, having pace, as we've said many a time, gets you into like the big clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you don't really have any other discernible footballing ability.
I wouldn't know about having pace, to be honest.
No, but you can imagine just youth teams being full of pace mongers, as it were.
It's like we said about O'Brien before, if they've got the raw pace... Teams always think that they can teach the rest. You can sort the rest out on the training ground. You can't make a slow player quick.
No.
And you can't do it. But you can take a player with bad touch and improve his touch, and play with bad passing and improve their passing. Those things can be improved upon. You know, pace is just a natural thing. You either got it or you haven't.
Obika seemed to be running at half pace today, though.
Oh, I just think...
I think near where you were sat, there was one chance where he could have easily made it, but he's just kind of ambling along.
Put it this way, if he was running out of a building but was on fire, he'd be running a lot quicker than he was today.
Mm.
That's
not a direct threat for me.
Yeah. Don't even know where you live.
Yeah.
But email in if you...
I know what we can do. We can forget about the fact that we just can't score at home, and if we don't start scoring at home, we are definitely going to go down, and we can concentrate on the absolutely appalling refereeing display today yet again.
Yeah, that was awful.
Awful. Mr. Tanner.
You reckon?
Rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you?
Bad ref, bad linesman.
Yeah, I thought
the linesman by us was pretty poor.
Yeah.
The refereeing...
No, I thought
some of it was a bit substandard, but you get that from every ref.
Yeah, no, I thought it wasn't the worst of the season, but it would probably make my top five. Yeah. Just edge into the top five.
You could tell, but even the Walsall bench thought the referee had been really lenient on them because they substituted Gray, when he clearly should have already been sent off.
For that two voted down by us, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if that had made any contact with anyone, that was definitely a second yellow, possibly a straight red. I mean,
could you see it from where you were sat?
I think everyone...
Just before he was substituted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw him go...
He was on a mission. Yeah. He was on a mission.
I did have a great view of it, but you could tell from the player's reaction, but it was bad.
Mm.
And he'd had a little bit of a coming together just before half-time when he'd been booked. And he gave a ref plenty of chat then as well and got called over for another talking to. What annoys me, when he got called over for that second talking to, if he hadn't have already been booked then, he would have been booked for what he said.
Mm.
Because he's already been booked, he's not sent off. That's not right. It's a yellow card offence, regardless of whether you've already been booked or not. Mm. And that would have really changed the game.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Refs do the old one more.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like
isn't that what a yellow card is?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, exactly. The yellow card is one more, isn't it? Mm.
I thought Grella had a good game.
Yeah, I mean, playing it as well. I would have liked to be honest, I think we missed a trick there because we needed to win that game. We haven't, and we played one up top for the majority of it.
But who could have played with him? Abika, could he have played with him?
Well, maybe if he'd started, he could have grown into the game, felt his way in a bit more. I don't know, but I mean, we
I think we're still.
I thought Grella looked better when he played. When Abika came on, he came a bit deeper.
Yeah,
and I thought he influenced the game better from
there. Yeah, he's good on the ball, isn't he? He's good.
Okay, they cut chances in the first half, and he looked
quick as well.
He looked quick, but he looked a little bit greedy.
Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
but maybe he's getting the ball, and already he can tell himself, I'm a league above these players. You know, I can get a goal for myself here.
Technically,
maybe he likes. He's playing furthest up front, one up top. Maybe he likes it when players are making the runs in front of him, and then he will release it. You know, but as you say, he looks a bit better, dropping a bit deeper. But
when a lot of players come in and they play the first game, a lot of the time they get the ball and they'll just want to lay it off to another teammate straight away so they don't lose it, feel their way into the game. From the minute he got the ball, the very first time, all he wanted to do was run at people and get past
them. Yeah, that's true. It's true. It did look a bit like the guy on your team who hogs onto it, but is really good.
Give it me. No,
I was saying to Robin, I don't know if you've ever seen it. You know, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
Do you think that he looks like the albino guy in that?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
That and
the Q-tip.
We thought John Cleverley, me and Scott Chandler.
Do you?
Thought he looked a little bit like John Cleverley.
He does a bit, yeah.
So
I don't know him.
Either way, pasty white hair.
You wouldn't be in a position to tell then.
No, not
but John Kevy really looks a little bit like Grella, so
I'll keep a lookout.
I did like Grella taking people on, and there's something for me when a guy takes someone else on. That's always my favourite thing to watch in football, and the fact that he was doing that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
fantastic,
positive. Yeah, he is a good player, and to be fair, I saw him a few times playing for Leeds last season, and I always did used to think to myself, why doesn't he get on more?
Yeah.
I know Leeds have got a solid side and all the rest of it, but he was one of those players where I thought, whenever he comes on, he does seem to make a difference, or at least gets involved in the game.
Mm.
And he proved that again today, but bottom line is we still can't score at home.
Yeah.
And if you look at the table, it's looking really ominous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it, though?
Well, we're running out of teams to chase.
Yeah.
I mean, when
we
come in at half-time today,
and
I was in the corporate bit today, I don't know if I've ever mentioned
that. Oh, shut up.
When I came in today, and we've got Sky Sports News in the corporate bit.
This is the royal we, is it?
You probably looked it up on your iPhones in your little dingy seats. At half-time, Dagenham Redbridge were winning. Tranmere were winning. Everyone that Yeovil were winning. You're just looking at it thinking, we're in massive.
That's what I'm saying.
Massive
before.
Trouble.
It could be even if we somehow string together. I don't know. Three wins in the next five. Three wins in the next six. Even if we somehow get that, it could be out of our hands.
I'm still hoping that Dagenham, Yeovil, or who's the other one you said? Tranmere.
Mm.
Financial irregularities.
Well, that's
it. I've heard rumours. There may be some dodgy dealings going on, so if anyone wants to investigate and hopefully find something.
Yeah.
The thing is, Plymouth.
Is there anything we can do? Can we plant dodgy financial transactions in there?
I'll have a word with my mate Dave.
Yeah. You sort it out, Ali.
He'll sort it out. He'll get him done for something.
Panic over.
Yeah. Look at Plymouth, they had 10 points to do that to. They got 6 back in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, give them a week and they might be back on our tails again.
No, the playoffs.
It's way
better. Is that how it works? they've got points back. Give them back. That's a sorry situation. We still get relegated when one of the teams
had like a 10 points taken off and they still beat you.
I think important not to lose, obviously, first game in charge.
Yeah, definitely.
But I can't help thinking that was almost a... And I know for his first game in charge, you can't really do a stick or twist kind of approach, but I think it was. I think we needed to win that game.
The worry is, though, if we'd gone for it and lost that game...
Yeah. But then we'd only have one point less than we've got now.
Yeah,
one
point. But they would have 2 points more.
True.
And that's the problem. Because at the moment, there's 3 points... If I can't see the league, and I know you can from there, but I think we're 3 points behind Warsaw. Yeah. One goal, better goal difference we have, and we played one game less.
That is all correct. If
we were to beat Plymouth on Tuesday, that would bring us in line with Warsaw. But I think Dagenham would still be ahead of us now.
I think it is.
I think Dagenham have got like two or three games in hand.
Yeah,
as well.
Dagenham have got 3 games in hand. But the problem is, I think that the confidence that... Not the confidence, but and not even the belief, but the general positive messages that Danny Wilson was sending out. And to be fair, he was sending them out right to the end. It might not have even been true. We could all see it wasn't true, but he always said the right things and tried to find some positiveness. Now that he's gone, the players are left with the reality of it. And I think that showed on the pitch today. I think that I think a lot of those players believe they're going down.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think a lot of the players aren't good enough.
I don't think
they're capable of stepping up to the level, because when I talk about good enough, it's being able to perform.
I think they're good enough to do okay in League One. Well, yeah, they showed last season they were, but I don't know what's gone wrong.
Consistency, what makes you perform, isn't it?
Maybe we shouldn't have decided that this season we'll do a podcast. Maybe it's our fault.
Should I press stop?
No, it was a poor choice of first season to launch it, but no, I don't think we're accountable in any way. But
I really do hope if we go.
We had a choice of teams. I told you to support Man United, but you wouldn't listen.
I really do hope that if we do go to League Two next season, we do keep our 7 listeners.
Yeah, me too.
If it's 7 going, it's just literally the 3 of us listening to it.
Yeah, we don't want to outnumber the number of listeners we have.
But look at it this way: we could be the best podcast in League Two.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stiff competition.
Because at the moment, we are relegation in League One. Podcast-wise.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's an opportunity for us. We're going to show those bloody Chesterfield, whoever it is.
I'm worried that the podcast might go into administration.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen.
Have you got any money?
You've been gambling again.
been gambling with our mics.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was Walsall.
1-1. Rhymes with Walsall.
Right. Wasting my time.
1-1.
Stop doing it.
Sorry.
Okay, predictions, and we're all a bit down about this, really, aren't we?
Oh, you love it because you're winning.
Well, even though I love it because I'm winning, because, you know, it's great to be a winner and to win stuff, and then when you're the winner...
Yeah. Win a lot.
Win a lot prime.
It sounds like the worst Transformer ever.
Well, win a lot prime, he does, yeah. We've made a dog food. That's my Transformer noise.
It's good.
Yeah, right. Can you do a better one?
No.
No, there we go. So, the last round of predictions, we had the Southampton game and the Walsall game. Both, and the score prior to that was 12 to me, 9 to Ian, 7 to Robin. Both Ian and I predicted defeats.
Yes.
Me 2-0, Ian 3-0.
Mega tripe. Win a lot of primes. Arch enemy.
Yeah, you're still thinking about that. Okay, so that was 1 point apiece for me and
Ian. Still bottom of the predictions, though.
Yeah. Robin, you predicted 2-1 win to win.
Yeah, 2-1.
So,
yeah.
Unlucky.
Of course I did. That's why I'm bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heart before head.
So. Also, Walsall, I predicted 1-1 draw, so 1 point to me.
Paul Hart beforehand.
Ian, you were 2-1. Robin, 2-0. So, overall, pretty rubbish all round for you guys. That puts Ian on 10. Robin on 7. Benjamin J. Watts Jr. is on 14.
You're on 10 now, Ian?
Yes.
What, did you get 2 points then?
Double figure. Nine.
He was on 9 before he got 1.
He was on 9.
9 plus 1 equals 10.
Yeah.
Hence 10.
Oh, God, I'm just... I'm like, you know, in the 800 metres where the pace setter just drops off. 1500, let's say 1500.
So you were near the front at any point?
No, but I'm just dropping off the pace.
So you're the pace setter in the middle?
You look like you'd be a pace setter.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
I'm not even sure.
Either way, it's quite
whatever it is, it's nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so the matches we've got coming up, Bass, you're going to have to shout the dates to me. So Plymouth away.
Yeah, Plymouth away on Tuesday, which is the 8th.
Dagenham and Redbridge on home.
Yeah, Saturday the 12th.
And Huddersfield away.
Huddersfield away.
Saturday the
19th, okay, of March.
We're going to do the podcast on that day. or then, about that time, so it'll be ready about Sunday the 20th. And as Robin's just been saying to me, we'll know by then where the land lies.
We'll know. I mean, these next
Do you not know now?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just fear.
I know. I said we weren't going to do it, but all you're thinking is, which way's east?
Yeah. Can we? I'm scared.
Oh, there we go.
Robin, you can go first. Plymouth away. I know your girlfriend supports Plymouth.
She doesn't. She supports Forest.
Same thing.
You're getting mixed up with a dock. She came in at.
Ooh. Go.
Dock me points.
Yes. We're going to win.
Go. Score.
1-0.
Okay. Ian?
Yeah, we have to win, to be honest.
2-1.
Okay. Ben, Globetrotters, 3-0.
Nice. I'm so glad you said 3-0, because whenever we all predict a win, we don't win.
No.
In fact, whenever we all predict anything, we don't win.
Yeah.
Ian?
We just don't win, generally.
Yeah. Dagenham Redbridge at home.
Yeah, I think this might be our coming of age game. 3-1 Swindon.
Hello?
Okay, bit of positivity.
Nice
one. I'm going to go second on this one, and we lost them 2-1 stupidly last time, didn't we?
We went, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, 2-0 I think it's going to be. Bass?
Yeah, we're going to win it.
Go on.
2-1. This is Jonathan Douglas's moment. This is the one we were talking about.
This is his moment.
Yeah.
That's quite good. I'm putting there Douglas score, because if he does...
This is his cheesy moment.
If Douglas scores, you agree we'll give him 10 points for that?
10!
Alright, 6.5.
It's the obvious second choice, 6.5.
Okay, 6.5 points, if you get that right. Okay, I'm going to predict Huddersfield away, 1-0.
Hmm.
And Ian, you can go. No, sorry, Robin, you can go.
We're going to get beat there. 2-0 to them.
Okay, Ian?
Oh, I think it'll be a draw as well. You said 1-0, did you?
Yeah, I said 1-0, mate.
0-0.
0-0. To go away and get a clean sheet there, though, it's not bad. Shout.
Yeah, it won't happen though. But I mean, if it did happen, yeah, we'd be good.
I'd love to like just get all my predictions and put them in a row and see how many. We'd be on so many points. I only predicted 2 losses all season.
Yeah, we'd have already won the league based on your predictions. Yeah.
They're not really predictions, are they? They're kind of.
I think Danny Wilson would still be in charge. Based on
situation.
The delusions.
Yeah, they're not predictions.
Anyway, current scores: Robin 7, Ian 10, Ben 14. That was predictions.
So you're doubling me.
Well, in more ways than one. I don't know how the other ways would work.
No, me neither. Time for our feature now. It's episode 13, so we're doing our feature on bad luck. Well, luck in general, but more specifically bad luck. Thought we'd start off with an example, each giving an example of bad luck in sport in general. So I'll start off. I'm saying Ghana versus Uruguay Suarez and the deliberate handball preventing an African nation progressing to the last eight.
Bad luck, stroke, cheating.
Or genius.
Or was it the last four? Well, was it the last eight or the last four?
Would we
last eight, wasn't it?
Yeah, last eight. Would we have accepted it if he was English?
I
don't think you can accept it at all.
But really, it's a reaction though, isn't it? What he did is a reaction.
Yeah.
It's the last minute, the ball's going in. You can't stop it with your body. You're going to put your hand
it's
out.
It's bad luck for Ghana, though, isn't it?
Do you know the only thing I thought was bad about
the
it?
Bloody penalty.
It wasn't just the fact that Suarez, and don't get me wrong, I like Suarez now because he plays for Liverpool, but it wasn't just the fact that he handballed it. It was his celebration when the Ghana player missed right in front of the cameras. Because you should have a degree of guilt.
And
really.
the way he handled it afterwards as well, saying, yeah, I don't regret it. Yeah, handled it afterwards. Yeah, and the way, yeah, just saying, I don't regret it at all. You know, yeah. I'm glad I did it. And it's like, well, of course you are. That's why you did it. You know, but you don't have to say that.
I know, something's left best unsaid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
dignity.
Tell you about
Danny Wilson, dignity.
Yeah. Not
set it up, set it up. Set
dignity,
set
by, it up, who is it by?
Deacon Blue.
Yeah.
Set it up again.
There's a man I know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Ian, what's your example of bad luck?
Michael Ballack.
Michael Badluck, which even sounds a bit like Michael Badluck.
Michael Badluck. We should call him that.
Yeah.
Michael Badluck.
Well, why is he so lucky?
2008. Okay, but put yourself as a professional footballer. I've seen you play, it'll be difficult, but you come runner up in the league. That's pretty unlucky, isn't it?
As close as
you can get to winning it without winning it. Yeah. Coming second, coming runner up.
The four play without the.
And then you play in the League Cup final.
Yeah.
But you don't win that.
Okay.
You come runner up. So that's pretty unlucky, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
And then you play in the FA Cup final, but you don't win that either.
Right.
You come runner up.
Any more?
So then you play in the Champions League final. Did you play in Champions League final? I got that right. I got that right. Don't win that. You lose that on penalties. So you think I've had terrible luck with Chelsea. So I go play for my country when I'm captain. You get to the final of the European 2008 Championships and you come runner-up.
Michael Badluck.
Michael Badluck.
That's unfortunate, isn't it?
That is.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah.
That's hard, isn't it? That's a lot of kickings to get up from.
What's the name of the young Argentinian striker who was at Chelsea?
Oh, I know who you mean.
To Blackburn, he was at Wigan now, isn't he, or something?
Is he Argentinian? Definitely.
I think he's Argentinian. Oh, but you know what I mean? The young striker. Not Barini, the other one. Can't remember what he's called. Anyway. Mr. X, as we call him, apparently at training, he went over to introduce himself. Went to Michael Ballack or something like that. And Michael Ballack's like, hi, nice to meet you, stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, so what's your name? And Michael Ballack's like, what? What's your name? And Michael Ballack, he's like, oh, right, yeah, never heard of you. As a joke, and Michael Ballack was like, oh, right.
You're saying
no one remembers second place. No one remembers the runners up.
You were going to say introduce yourself to Michael Ballack, and Michael Ballack, I'm Michael Ballack, pleased to meet you. And as they shook hands, the young Argentinian felt a crippling sensation in both knees because he touched Michael Ballack. He never played again.
The unluckiest man in football. Yeah. Just touching
him
is a curse.
What's her name from the Rogue from the X Men that she can't touch anymore?
Have you seen Misfits? It's quite good.
Anyway.
Similar.
So my
he's not in that, is he?
No, he's not.
No.
He's tired now. I thought
the one you've written down here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that one.
All right, fair enough.
The one that they had written down was
not that we write anything down because we don't pre-plan anything, do we? Because this is all very ad lib.
Exactly. But the Liverpool Beach Boy incident.
Yeah.
I don't think that was bad luck. I think that was justice.
Right.
How's that justice?
Anyway, so my bad luck thing that I originally discussed with you guys was Jamie Redknapp's disallowed goal for England.
Yeah, that was a good one.
From the halfway line. Yeah. Was shown a game against Channel 5. I've tried for years to find it on YouTube.
It was a belter. Yeah, I remember it as well.
It's only one thing you don't remember.
It's still rising. When
yeah, the thing is, what he's done...
40 yards? 45?
45 yards, I think. Free kick. Refs, he's given a free kick. Redknapp has just touched the ball straight down and then he's smacked it and it's arrowed. It's still rising into the top corner. Turn around to celebrate. Ref just blows the whistle and goes, nope, didn't blow my whistle.
Oh, that's no good.
Ridiculous. What a goal that was.
I mean,
I hate Jamie Redknapp, but for that...
Does that not make it a little bit cooler, though? A little bit more folklore?
What?
Does that not bring more attention to the shot, the fact that it was disallowed?
He
had an injury ravaged career, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was a good player, though. You know, Redknapp in his prime.
Sorry, I'm not going to... Jamie Redknapp, I refuse to listen to anything that says he's unlucky. The guy is 39, he still looks 20. He's married to Louise Nerding, obviously now Louise Redknapp, who's brilliant. I'm pretty sure he's never going to play for another Thomas Cook holiday ever again in his life. When you look at how good he is, how good looking he is... And then look at his father that made him. He has been massively lucky.
He does look like Droopy the dog. I mean, I know everyone says it, but he really does, doesn't he? The dog detective, you know, Droopy.
The dog detective.
He was a dog detective.
He wasn't a detective.
Was it?
He was just a dog doing stuff.
Was a detective.
I'm here for sure of a crime.
He didn't sound like that.
Anyway,
bad luck in sport. I mean, I guess...
We've got a few in general, haven't we?
Oh, we got loads, mate.
Redknapp smashed it as well, apparently. Don't know if you...
What, Harry did?
No, he's making reference to the...
Keysgate.
Oh, I'm with you.
Harry hands.
instead of going, oh, you're making a
rest. That's unlucky.
What, Harry hands?
Have that much hair on your hands. That's massively unlucky.
Michael Owen with his injuries. So.
Yeah, he got... apparently, Michael Owen, his first injury, the one that, like, ruined it for him, was he got injured at Leeds, did his hamstring in during the warm-up. And I read this, like, some Liverpool fans said he will never forgive the Leeds fans because Michael Owen was the best striker in the world at that point. You remember when he
broke through, like, 98, like, yeah, Argentina.
This is when he was at his peak at Liverpool because there was a period when he was just unstoppable.
Yeah, when they won the weird treble.
Yeah, and then he did his hamstring in the warm-up and the Leeds fans, like, even during the warm-up, apparently, this guy said that they were just absolutely vicious towards him, like, laughing at him, and he's there clearly in pain and he's never recovered from that injury. That was his first major hamstring hurt.
That's the problem with players, but I've got electric pace though.
Yeah.
Is they always have hamstring problems. You watch Walcott, he's going to be played with it his whole career, guaranteed. It'll just be from hamstring injury to hamstring injury.
But you can learn to live with it and you adjust your game accordingly. Like Giggs, remember, he used to have all the hamstring problems. Yeah. For 6 weeks at a time. Then he changed the game and he said that But he goes past like 25. I've never run at full pace.
Well, thing with Giggs is he's always maintained that his best asset is his balance,
I suppose.
So he's a slightly different coach. Michael Owen never looks fully in control of a football, does he? Even in his prime. But
Alan O'Brien.
Similar. But I mean, we could probably go on all day about, like, you know, how much of success in sport is down to luck and how much is down to, you know, because
margins. I mean, exactly. Just on the Warsaw game today, the margins are massively fine. Yeah. We have a shot in the last minute, hits the bar and comes back out.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the season, I wouldn't mind betting that those 2 points we dropped there will be the difference between us staying up or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Are the margins.
Lampard's disallowed goal.
Yeah. Is that unlucky though, or is that just absolute contempt?
But I'm talking about for England, by the way.
That was bad luck.
It's bad luck for us, but, you know, I always think but luck is the things that just don't fall your way in a marginal. That wasn't even marginal, was it? That was clearly a goal.
That was like and Tottenham's disallowed goal as well, that old trap.
Yeah,
Was it Martin Joel? They ask him straight after, he's like, I didn't see it, and they show him it, and he's like, that's ridiculous.
it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, lots of luck, bad luck, good luck in sport and all the rest of it. And we did get some contributions, so just thought we'd go through a few of those, picked out a few of the best ones. Big Malk always says his piece, mentions, along with a few other people, the bobble. Wembley.
Yeah.
I can remember standing up as he was played through, sort of grabbing John next to me, and both of us like frozen in time, like, he's got to bury this. And then
he would have buried it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, we did. So, but like, in real
Charlie, he knew.
My mate texted me and said, "Mate, that took a bobble." Because obviously, in real time,
he just thought
he fluffed it.
Well, you probably like me. You're just waiting for the net.
Yeah,
I was waiting for the net to go. So I don't know if you probably can remember when you think back. But how Austin made that chance was brilliant, because he cut out, he intercepted a crossfield pass.
Yeah.
But in one touch, he not only intercepted it, he put it enough ahead of the defender for him to beat him for pace. I mean, he'd done absolutely everything right. And then that, you know, when you talk about luck,
I mean, that is as
bad as it gets, isn't it? The ball rolls to a point of the pitch which is uneven, and it hits that part of the pitch exactly at the point that he's about to make contact with the ball.
I mean,
that is as unlucky as you can get.
It's so poignant as well, because, like, at that point, two tangents existed, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
The one with the bobble, the one without the bobble. And the one without the bobble could be, you know... Well, we don't know, obviously. Well, have you seen that film, Sliding Doors?
Yeah, right, the one without the bubble would have been us in the relegation zone in the Championship, but still with Charlie, Greer and Painter, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Because anyway.
Personally, I don't think that we would have gone up to the Championship and stormed it, like a lot of people thought that we would.
No. But I don't reckon we'd be bottom of that league. No. I always said at the time, when we didn't go up, I said it would be easier to stay in the Championship than it would have been to get out of League One this season, and that's probably been proved to be correct.
We never know.
Because look at the teams that have gone up.
Yeah.
Big Malk's main example of bad luck, however, is us getting demoted when Spurs didn't.
Yeah.
And he says, the Football League treated Swindon as a club with great contempt and disrespect on the wrongdoing of a few crooked people. I blame the Football League and certain newspapers that I still refuse to read for this. As they have shown in other cases, the punishment would not be repeated. Just look at the case of Spurs. No bad luck there. And I mean, it is true.
Should have just handed over an envelope with money in, didn't he?
It's a contradiction, isn't it?
Is Malk talking about the Gazette and Herald, the newspaper?
He's bound to be. I mean, that's the biggest publication I can think of.
Swindon Star, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe
those on Thursdays.
What have you got in Bassett?
Swindon Star.
Is it Swindon Star?
Gets delivered by 12-year-olds on £6 a week.
You used to be one of those, didn't you?
Yeah. I think it probably goes up when you're 13.
Fair enough. So that's bad luck. We got a great one from Rob. Kennedy Dady or Kennedy Daddy?
Kennedy Dady.
1st of January 1977, so a long time ago, Swindon mid-table versus Brighton, top of table. On a day of torrential rain, Swindon are 4-0 up and looking splendid. 68 minutes. Ref says he has had enough and abandons the game. I remember him to this day, Alan Robinson of Waterloo Vilhants.
See you next Tuesday.
So,
you know that, though.
Might have been New Year's Day as well. You'd be hungover.
That's a shocker, isn't it?
I've had enough. Going home. It's 4-0, ref. I don't care.
Jamie, always good to hear from Jamie.
Can I just jump in there? I don't know if it's the same now, but isn't it the case now if the game goes 69 minutes, the result stands? I'm pretty sure it's 69 minutes. If a game goes that long, the result stands. If that was the case then, how massively annoying would that be? 1 minute before the result would stand.
I don't want to say betting scam, but
I'm pretty sure it's six after the 69th minute now the result stands.
Hey, after a 69, the result always stands.
Is that what level we've gone to?
No. Okay. But I mean, you know, it's not every day that you can say that. So Jamie, it's always good to hear from him, and he says Stevenage FA Cup 98, I'm sure we all remember that, Digby's goal kick, Grazioli's goal, the wind being well, the worst he'd ever seen at the County Ground, and certainly I'd ever seen as well.
The County Ground is kind of conducive to make it into a wind tunnel, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. But obviously the low ends, the wind just walking through, so there's always sort of one end.
Might have a theory though.
Yeah.
There
we go.
Nathan Norris.
Thank you, Nathan
Great,
Norris.
Thank you so much. Great contributions. I had to couldn't fit them all in. He's an unlucky guy. Anyway, I'm good.
Well, not just generally.
I was going to say, have you seen him?
Nathan, that was Ian's at that. You know Ian. You know him, don't you? You know Nathan.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Thank you for the contributions, Nathan. So just going to read a couple out. As a ball boy, I once fell over an advertising board, which I didn't realise was loose, and then it proceeded to fall on top of me whilst trying to retrieve the ball. So that was obviously quite embarrassing for him. Also, as a ball boy, got lost in the Stratton Bank when it was completely open. Had the entire wing of the Nationwide stand, as it was then, trying to direct him to the ball as he couldn't find it anywhere. I suppose the latter could have been judgement rather than luck, but he had no idea where the ball was. And some bad luck that he saw that didn't actually happen to him a few years ago. Billy Painter and Moses Ashikodi, remember him?
Yeah, what player?
Yeah. Yes. We're practicing shooting before a game. This was back. He's been very kind here. He says this was back before Billy's purple patch. What he's trying to say is this is when both Billy and Moses were rubbish.
Yeah.
And he belted the ball and it flew into the town and smashed a kid in the face, who himself flew back, knocked into a guy behind him who's tea and pie, then fell into the kid's face. It was met with a way before people realised that this kid was completely out of it and had hot tea and pie all over his face. To his credit, Painter did give him his jacket and boots.
You've written it there, just as boot. Just the one.
Well, honest, if that was a Balti pie,
yeah,
I would say that is not equivalent value in what he's received back in terms of a jacket and boots. Probably rather the Balti pie.
Actually, that reminds me of just massive digression, but used to play in a league at uni, and there was a guy who played on our team, and he used to have a second job, and he used to look after underprivileged kids. He was a really nice guy. Yeah. And he took one of these underprivileged kids to watch one of our games he wasn't playing at the time. We were all kind of warming up, and there was this guy who used to play Manson, and he was a decent enough player, but I can't remember his first name. He was Scouser, and he was having problems scoring, and his shooting hadn't been great in the last few weeks, and we were all practicing our shooting, and he caught hold of one beautifully, but unfortunately it just went wide of the goal and smacked the underprivileged kid whose hand Jay was holding right in the face, and this kid it was horrible. And it was really, because you saw Manson connect with it and you thought, oh, fair play, you know, at least he's hit one properly, you know, that's good, I'm glad that happened. But then it just went straight into this kid's face, like the one shot he's caught hold of in God knows how many weeks.
It could have hit one of the privileged kids, so that would have been terrible.
Yeah, that would have been worse. Anyway, that's a digression. This is a good example of bad luck turning into good luck, to follow on from your four-leaf clover example last week, Ian, where Ian found a four-leaf clover, but it was covered in piss. This is bad luck.
Funny,
to
is it, Ben? Funny, is
Ian
it?
Ian found a four-leaf clover, but it was covered
totally
in
totally ruined it out my nams, that did.
Anyway, again, cheers, Nathan. Played Chester on a Friday night, got a lift up with one of his dad's mates. Due to the heavy traffic, the guy decided to take a detour through Worcester. The traffic was just as bad, if not worse. What made it worse? Decided a little side street looked like it could be a handy shortcut. It wasn't, and due to Worcester's fantastic one-way systems, it took us back to the start of the queue. It took us 6 hours to get there. Got there just as the second half had started. The Chester stewards kindly let us in for free, and as soon as we got into the ground, Peacock put us 1-0 up, and we got to see his second as well. So we saw 30 minutes of football, 2 goals, and a town win for free. So that is bad luck turning into good luck. I think that's reasonable.
It's quite good.
Yeah. So quite a lot of contributions, but we've saved the best to last. We've got our very own Ian Rachel with his own bad luck story.
Yeah.
Ian, the floor is yours, mate.
Ian, take us back.
Before I tell the story, I was just looking at the bottom of that when he said about Peacock putting us 1-0 up. He had quite bad luck because he left Sheffield Wednesday because he couldn't get on with Paul Sturrock. Came to Swindon a couple of months later, new Swindon manager, Paul Sturrock. Didn't play many games after that. My bad luck story actually involves a game I played in. Going back a number of years now, it was either at some under 14s level or maybe even scouts level or something like that. Anyway, it was one of the five-a-side tournaments they'd have over a weekend in the summer. I don't know if you've ever played in one of the tournaments where they have the corner count rule.
I played in one in Birmingham.
Yeah, so anyone who doesn't know, basically, if the scores are even, it will be decided on which team has amassed the most corners in the game. Anyway, we managed to make it through into the final, which was probably nothing to do with my goalkeeping, but we did make it through to the final nevertheless. Played the game, pretty sure I remember.
Shines his light under a bushel, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't want to show off. At the end of the game, it was 2-2, and even on corners. So we go into 1 minute sudden death, or 2 minutes sudden death. It wasn't a lot of time. Anyway, after that, no goals have been scored. So the referee then says, sudden death corners. And it was at the time, because you're like fairly young, they don't want to do penalty shootouts, because whoever loses is probably at an age where he'll cry and the rest of his team will have a go at him, and it's just an easier way to settle it.
It's difficult to get over.
So yeah, so we play this game, knowing but it's sudden death goal, sudden death corner, and they get a penalty. Brilliant. So they're, you know, we think to ourselves they're going to win. I'm obviously in goal. Takes his penalty. I go really big to one side, get a hand to it, push it away, or I save it, whatever. And then jump up, shout out some sort of, look at me, I'm brilliant. And I can't stand for the life of me while the other team is celebrating and we're walking off a pitch. I thought, it just doesn't make sense. I saved the penalty. We're back in it. We're back in the game. And I realised, but in saving it, I had pushed it around the post for what was then classed as a corner,
which
is a sudden death corner.
Mate.
So we lost. So I probably must be one of the only goalkeepers whose penalty save has meant that his team lost.
Yeah, absolutely. That's horrific.
I think actually one of the team actually blamed me for it. I think one of them said, you could have pushed it out.
Yeah.
I was really angry.
To be fair, he's probably got a point.
Yeah.
That's the difference between winning and losing.
That's bad.
It's back on the sliding door. You know, who knows where Ian would be now if he held on to that penalty or just pushed it out for a throw. I imagine it was a kick-in in a five-a-side tournament, not a throw-in.
Yeah.
Or rolling, maybe.
Yeah. It might have been like sliding doors. He might have got a makeover. Yeah. He might have got back to the apartment to find that his partner wasn't cheating on him.
And there was trophies. There was bigger trophies for winners than there was for losers. I could have had a big trophy.
Losers' trophies are always rubbish.
Yeah, they are always poor. You never used to get the winners used to get a trophy and the losers would get a small medal, which was £1 from Radway's and Whitbassett, a bit of free advertising.
Yeah, well, Dom Rogers.
Mr. Radway.
Dom Rogers, of course, as well. You can buy
Dom Rogers, he also does trophies.
Trophies and medals there. Just in case no one who listens to this knew that, which would be weird.
Or if you're in devices, Avon trophies.
Oh, there we go, we've covered our triangular locational.
What's the word?
Come on. Set up.
Anyway,
that was our feature. Hope you enjoyed it.
Set up.
And that was Wise Men Say, episode 13. Yet again, rather depressing listening, but I mean, what can we do? Hopefully episode 14 will have picked up some points, but don't put your house on it. Episode 14 should be ready by Sunday, March 20th, I believe.
Yeah, that's what we've said, isn't it?
Yeah. So tune in for that one. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. Anything that you have to say, any you know, suggestions for how we could perhaps make the podcast better, or anything you'd like us to include. Even shout-outs, you know, birthday requests, bar mitzvahs, all of that. We're more than happy to do it. And we have an email address, which is...
wisemensay@live.co.uk.
He's already bloody done it, hasn't he? I thought he's going to mess it up.
No, I thought I was going to say com.com. That would have been wrong, wouldn't it? Yeah, .co.uk.
He's done
well. Embrace the modern age,
yeah. Just seamlessly fitted in there. We also have a website, which is
wisemensaystfc.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Hello, we've done it. It's 2 out of 2.
Yeah, it's confusing though, because that one is com, but the other one was .co.uk.
That's what it does, mate.
That's where you have to, because mistakes get made.
Yeah.
But not with me.
It's like when you rub your stomach and pat your head, or is it the other way around? Pat your head and.
I think it's trying to do both at the same time. Rub and
no, I know
rub
that. But I was
rub and pat.
Yeah, but I was saying maybe you rub your head and pat your stomach.
You
rub
pat your head.
I could.
Pat your head. Okay, I was right first time then.
Yeah.
Anyway. We are also on social networking sites, mainly Facebook.
Yeah, Wise Men Say.
Nice and simple.
Nice and simple. Yeah. If he messed that one up.
No.com or .co.
I reckon he's in the home straight now. He's like Chris Akabusi. He's 4x400.
No, record broken!
Go on, Chris O. That was quite a good impression.
Yeah, cheers.
And we are also on Twitter. We tweet from...
At Wise
Men Say. Oh, no! Damn it, I'm so close! It was the Akabusi thing that did it.
Should I go on with Twitter? At Wise Men Say. STFC.
Yeah. Just at Wise Men Say. STFC.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah, that's 3 out of 4.
Get someone else in.
It's not bad. If we had 3 wins out of 4, we would be moaning. It would
be absolutely beautiful. Yeah, 3 wins out of 14, maybe. 3 wins out of...
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, that's not even possible now. 3 wins out of 14, because we've already lost, not 1 in 12.
So. How many games are left?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's
13, I think.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Really? 13 left? 13 in episode left. 13?
Unlucky.
Oh, my God.
I know, I feel a bit freaked out. Suddenly gone a bit surreal.
Will somebody walk me to my car?
I will, mate.
Not you. Ben, will you walk me to my car? Well,
I don't know, what's in it for me?
What's in my car for you?
Yeah.
KFC, bargain bucket, just bones left.
Best part.
I mean, we did notice earlier on that KFC have got a bit of a marketing scam going on with the Streetwise value meal.
Yeah,
that isn't Streetwise at all, it's a scam.
It's called Streetwise, right? $9.99, yeah. 6 pieces of chicken, 4 fries.
Did you get think, that?
No, right. No, we were going to get that, because we thought Streetwise, it's a good idea. The un-Streetwise price of $10.99, same amount of chicken, same amount of fries, 2 sides... and a bottle of Coke.
There aren't much Streetwise about
that. Colonel.
Yeah.
Can you have a word when you're next working?
A moment, yeah. Maybe the Streetwise thing, like, get a knife, though.
Well, God knows. I mean, it made me feel like Rebel MC back in the day, street tough, but, you know, then I realised I was getting skanked, and it made me feel more
I said to Danny Wilson when he served us, I said, this isn't... I said, this is... Apparently it's his first week.
Yeah. Yeah. Tam was still showing him the ropes.
Yeah, Pericard in there already. Got him in. Yeah, he's doing a shit.
Pericard's just...
Pericard, you cooked that chicken yet? It's been 3 days.
The strange thing was, Pericard got the job, yet Ferry's CV was much better. It just got overlooked. Upsetting.
Anyway. That was episode 13.
That's the COD sponsorship gone.
Yeah, there we are.
Now we've plugged them.
Speak to you soon.
Bye. I was raised in sunshine.